BBC News with Sue Montgomery. Monday's devastating earthquakes in Turkey and Syria are now known to have killed more than 20,000 people. The head of the UN, Antonio Guterres, has urged governments not to hinder aid supplies. In Syria, the authorities are yet to grant full access to opposition-controlled areas. Rescue workers from the White Helmets say the only UN convoy that's reached the region contains no specialised equipment to free people trapped under rubble. Mohammed Hassoun is a doctor at two hospitals in rebel-held northern Syria.
The medical supplies that we have don't even cover 20% of the needs of people in northern Syria. And of course, the magnitude of the damage because of the earthquake is extremely difficult to deal with what we already have.
South Africa's president has declared a state of disaster to try to deal with an energy crisis. Cyril Ramaphosa was making an annual address to Parliament, which was repeatedly disrupted by the opposition. His announcement gives the government additional powers to tackle crippling electricity shortages. Here's Nomsa Maseko.
The Economic Freedom Fighters, which is an opposition political party, had warned that they would be protesting because they do not want to allow President Ramaphosa to speak in Parliament. The president saw it fit to declare a state of national disaster to deal with the current energy crisis. He said that millions of dollars would be injected to this because he wants to ensure that South Africa does have an efficient electricity system. And of course, this was welcome news by mostly opposition parties.
A committee of British MPs is calling for an official government inquiry into the UK military's withdrawal from Afghanistan in 2021 as the Taliban rapidly took over the country. Britain's near 20-year military presence in the country cost more than $36 billion and the lives of 457 British military personnel. Jonathan Beale reports.
The MPs call the UK's withdrawal from Afghanistan a dark chapter in British military history, not just for the troops who served there, but also for those Afghans who helped them, who've been left behind. The House of Commons Defence Committee says the speed of the collapse was a greater surprise to the military establishment than it might have been, and the government needs to conduct a proper inquiry into what went wrong. While the MPs praise the evacuation effort of 2021, they also say those plans should have been better prepared.
US media sources say the former Vice President Mike Pence has been subpoenaed by the special counsel investigating Donald Trump. It's not immediately clear what information the special counsel, Jack Smith, is seeking. BBC News. More than 200 political prisoners freed by the Nicaraguan government have arrived in the United States. They were greeted at the airport by a crowd waving flags and singing songs. The US Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, described their release as a constructive step towards addressing human rights abuses. A judge in Nicaragua called the prisoners traitors that had been deported. President Daniel Ortega has jailed many opposition figures and critics in Nicaragua and forced others into exile. A woman in New York has been convicted of attempted murder after she tried to poison her lookalike in an attempt to steal the other woman's identity. A jury found Victoria Nasirova guilty of trying to kill her hairstylist, Olga Zwick, with cheesecake laced with a powerful sedative. Here's our North America correspondent, Peter Bowes.
Prosecutors say the two women resemble each other with dark hair and similar skin tones, and that Victoria Nasirova had hoped to impersonate Olga Svik after killing her. On a visit to her stylist's home, she gave the 35-year-old woman a slice of cheesecake containing a deadly drug, causing her to lose consciousness. She was later found ill in bed by a friend. After being discharged from hospital, Ms. Svik realised that her passport and work authorisation card were missing. Nasirova was convicted of attempted murder, assault and unlawful imprisonment. She faces up to 25 years in prison.
Crucial talks between the Pakistani government and the International Monetary Fund for a bailout loan have ended without agreement. A senior Pakistani finance ministry official said the two sides had agreed on advance measures, but the lending agency had asked for more time for negotiations. Pakistan is desperate for the loan as its foreign currency reserves with the central bank have dropped below $3 billion. BBC News.